Mine's pretty wobbly. How will we know if the mics die?
How will we know if these mics will die?
That's gonna rub. Remember when I had that call with the psychic and I couldn't hear anything because it was rubbing?
I am not wearing my shirt like that, thank you. It's not gonna rub, it's on the other side.
I feel like we're gonna do this whole thing and the audio is gonna cut out.
Yeah, maybe.
You don't need this.
I know. Really just gets me in the vibe, though.
This pile of items in the middle. Beth is grabbing her microphone and headphones, even though they have no actual purpose right now.
This is not connected to anything, so.
Because this is the dinosaur we use to record our podcast, which, to be fair, it does a very good job.
It does a very good job. So do these mics, but there's something going on with the connection, and...
Until it dies, the moment you need to record a podcast, and you're already recording a little close to the deadline.
but we're agile and we think on our feet. So we're using these.
I am not putting on the headphones.
Oh, okay.
So let's get into it. Welcome back to Tales from the Rig. This is Tale 8. And I usually don't do the intro, so I'm not really sure what to say right now. So if you wouldn't mind taking over, that'd be great.
Welcome back to Tales from the Rig, where you and I both find out what we're talking about today when Courtney shows me pictures, videos, and or clues about a tale from our time on the road, and we talk about what it was and what we learned, and I'm excited for today's.
Yes, so we are also using my laptop as a special guest because we also sold both of our cameras before we got a new one, so both of our phones are in use, which are, it's fine, we're figuring
it's
this
fine.
Out.
Fine.
Okay, are
Different
you ready?
Tech setup today, but it's fine. We're rolling
see.
With the punches.
We'll see if it's gonna be fine. $20 says the audio cuts out before the
All
end.
Right.
Are you ready?
Okay. Let's do it.
Please describe for the listeners.
Oh, man. That's where that jacket went. I was wondering. Okay. So for those of you who are not watching on YouTube, we always encourage that you do. But if you are listening, the ears edition today, what we are looking at is my $300 red leather jacket from my study abroad period in Italy, where I literally got this jacket in Florence, Italy. And it is the down the left sleeve, it is completely covered in mold.
Correct. There's also a nice shot of your butt in the background that I didn't realize until just now. So there's that.
Looking good.
You still have the helmet that you refused to sell from Italy, correct?
I don't know. Okay. Oh, that one's not from Italy. It's just the Italian flag for the moped that I always wanted but never had. And I was like in a real manifest it stage in my life. So I bought the helmet without the moped.
Yeah, you were ahead of the times.
That's right.
Next photo.
All right. So we have a stack of clothes.
What's on top?
What is on top is a sweatshirt from my college days for Concordia hockey team. And it too is featuring white mold.
Your sentimental clothing items really took the hit.
I will say though that that sweatshirt came from the bookstore, so it wasn't as sentimental as the one I gave you and you lost.
Yeah. Well, I recovered that situation, so thank you. I'll tell you that story later. Next photo.
This is a massive pile of clothing on the floor of our 26-foot camper. There's more clothing that is hanging above us. And Court looks like she is doing some body recovery. She's got a black mask over her mouth. She's wearing black gloves.
What is body recovery?
I don't know. I was just thinking of Elsbeth. What? I was thinking of a crime scene. You look like a crime scene investigator.
What does... Is body recovery a term, or did you just make it up?
I'm not sure. But
you made it up.
Like, recovered in bodies.
I think you made it up. Okay, we'll move on to the next
photo.
What
are you holding, though?
It looks like I'm pulling out garbage bags to bag a giant pile of clothing up.
Okay, all right. Here's a callback. to our laundry episode.
Yes.
Court is washing my hockey sweatshirt in the same mini Menards bucket.
This Menards bucket really got more playtime than I anticipated.
Really,
and I actually chose this for this episode because I did not realize how many strange things happened involving clothing on the road. And there's even a third tale involving
I know what the third tale is.
Okay, so we'll get into the story and then we'll kind of use these photos as our guide post to tell the story. So, do you remember how we first discovered the situation?
I remember where we were. We were in South Carolina. We were in Charleston.
And South Carolina does not have the best holding place for memories, because that was the place we first got infested by cockroaches.
Or so, discovered them.
Yeah.
We really think they came from Florida.
I think they came from Florida, but then they hatched and reproduced and became a thing in South Carolina.
You just used a lot of gross words.
Different tale for a different time. However, I specifically remember before this happened, we were talking about how grateful we were to be in South Carolina and nothing bad had happened. So I feel like we kind of brought this on ourselves.
Reverse manifestation.
Okay. And so at the time, we were in our 26-foot travel trailer. And as far as where clothing went in there, because every person who walked into our rig was like, how do you live in here? Where do things go? So most of our clothing were in these like little half closets on each side of our bed.
It was the weirdest spacing. Like, you couldn't actually even hang a shirt or pants.
Yeah.
It would, like,
fold
drape.
On itself.
And we're not even tall.
No.
So I don't know how full-size humans.
I mean, you do have a long torso. So
I
your
do.
Shirts might
That's
have been
true.
A little longer than mine. But there were these tiny, like, little half closets. And then we had some folded up above the bed. And then there was this really gigantic space in the bathroom in the back of the camper.
Mm-hmm.
So it was also a half closet, but, like, a much larger, deeper half closet. So we kind of put a little bit of everything back there.
That one was, like, even shorter because it was above the outdoor kitchen.
Yeah, it was weird.
And so they were just, like, why not make this storage? But then they put a bar across it so that you should hang things. And we were like,
I think we took that out eventually.
We did.
But at the time, this bar was still in place. So overflow clothes that couldn't fit in the side closets went back in the big closet. And so there were a lot of like jackets, hoodies, that kind of stuff back there. So at this time, it was all clothing in the back closet with some like storage underneath it.
This was at the time that we were about, I think we were about 5 months away from being diagnosed with MCAS as well, right?
No.
Or it was the year before that?
This was year two.
So it was before
we still
knew
a
anything
year out.
About
yeah,
anything.
We knew nothing about the autoimmune condition we have. But just like spoiler alert, mold is like very bad. And even before we got the diagnosis, when I was little, one of the things that would make me the absolute sickest, like vomiting sickness, was mold. Black mold is like my throat would swell shut. So I was trying to remember, because I do think we were like not feeling well before we discovered this and we couldn't figure it out. Which we played that game a lot, to be fair.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to know.
I'm trying to think, because we were in person at my office at one of the headquarters for my company.
Yes.
So I was going, right? I was going to work
time,
every day.
Time stamp on this. Oh, that's why your butt's in the picture and you have your backpack.
Leaving.
Beth was leaving to go into the office and I had gone in a little bit too, but the time stamp on this is January 30th. So I pulled that. So anyway, we wake up and I think we were going to grab a jacket from the back. And I feel like we went to the back closet like kind of frequently because the hoodies were back there.
Yeah. I mean, and like we kept the extra toilet paper in there. So like,
yeah,
it wasn't like, oh, we've never opened that back hatch back there.
No. So what happened on this particular day was I think we were both planning to go in. I went back there to grab a jacket and all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, I couldn't tell that it was mold all the way, but I was just like, something is wrong with this jacket, this red jacket. That was the first one I saw.
Something is very wrong.
And so I pulled it out to show Beth, and I was like, what is this? Like, what is that? Because it's like white with speckles. And so I didn't know it was mold right away. So I showed you, and you were like, I'm pretty sure that's mold. And you were like, is it on any of the other clothes? And I said, no, I think it's just this one. Was I wrong? So I go back into the closet, this time with a flashlight, and literally this thing, the mold has grown in between, like, so if the clothes are hanging this way, in between, it has like come from the back and then started to get in between the clothes. And then because the clothes the clothes were so tightly packed together that like created the breeding ground for that to multiply. And so literally it was on 85% of the things in the closet. And so you're out the door going to the office, and I'm like, I have to deal with this. Like, we cannot leave this. This is so bad. And I have moisture trauma from my childhood. That sounds very strange. Allow me to explain. So water damage was something I grew up around. It was like pounded into my head, like, you can't let water get in because then it creates damage. And if you have water damage, like, everything's ruined. Like, anytime something would like spill a glass of water in our rig the first year, I would like freak the fuck out because I'm like, water damage. So I was very well versed and trained in water damage and how like moisture is so bad, because if moisture gets into the walls, if it gets into other areas, like, it can do a lot of damage with mold. So this is like
mold.
This is like, first of all, I felt very validated because I was like, this is what happens when you don't pay attention with moisture. But also I was like, this is my worst nightmare. Like, this is reliving my childhood that like moisture has gotten in. And I thought moisture I was kills. Being very moisture kills. I thought I was being very vigilant. Like, I was a little bit obsessive about it. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, you, we had to have some conversations like, there's not moisture hiding everywhere. It's going to be okay. Until it wasn't.
I think the weird part is that we had been in there so frequently.
Yeah.
I swear to God, this was not there like 2 days before we opened it and found this monstrous mess here. And this was not like, oh, we spilled water and didn't clean it up.
No.
This was pure humidity.
Yeah.
Because we're in South Carolina, and apparently it's wicked moist there in the air.
Yeah. So we knew when we started this lifestyle, like, that moisture could become a thing in your camper, and that's not something you wanted. So we actually, I saved like this infographic that talked about the things that put off the most moisture, which I think was like cooking. Mm-hmm. Cooking gives off a ton of moisture, taking a shower, like, it gave you these things. So because that closet was in the back where the shower was, we had a dehumidifier. We made sure the fan was open. Like, we did all of the things because we knew having the shower be in a space where there were cupboards was like not a good thing. So we proactively did all of the things, and what it ended up being was the humidity from the East Coast. And I mean, we get humidity back home in Michigan, but not like that.
No.
Not
I mean,
like that.
I think the worst humidity we've ever experienced was Virginia.
That was awful.
Yeah.
That was terrible.
The ocean was like in the air.
It was so bad.
But I think the weird part about South Carolina, though, is that you can see, because I'm wearing a jacket in the background. Mm-hmm. It wasn't warm.
Mm-mm.
So like it was January.
Well, you're also cold all the time.
I'm cold all the time, but it wasn't like it was balmy.
Yeah. So something weird happened, and you went to work. So I'm wearing the mask because without knowing I have an autoimmune condition at this time, I knew I did not react well to mold. And I think you were like going to offer to stay home to help with it. And I was like, no, it's fine. Like, just go to work. I've got this. Like, I'll just figure it out. So it literally was all over 85% of our clothing from the back. So the first thing I did was Google, can you get mold out of clothes? Because the way it looks in these pictures,
it's
like,
pretty embedded.
There's no, like, what do I do with this, right? And some of them, so like on the second picture on the hoodie, it literally on the arm doesn't even look like mold spores. You know what it looks like back home where you get salt? because we salt everything in the winter in Michigan, you get like these patterns of like waves that are white. And so it looks like it's road salt somehow all over our clothing. Here you can see the spores. There you can see the spores. Anyway, so I look it up. I'm like, can we get mold out of clothing? I find a YouTube video, thank goodness, and you can, in theory, get it out. But what's happening with the bucket is you have to pre-soak everything in a vinegar solution to
vinegar,
which is it's
my nemesis,
which is also a major no-no for our autoimmune condition. So I'm literally breathing in things, soaking my hands. I had gloves on, but I'm like breathing in mold and vinegar, which are like the two absolutely nots. And I started to not feel well. I remember that. So I came outside. It's literally like winter still. I'm outside soaking everything, and the bucket's not that big, so I literally could only soak like 2 to 3 items of clothing at a time, and I think it had to soak for 10 minutes.
Yeah, it looks like a good time.
After that, you have to hand wring it out, and then you can wash it. And I'm making sure like all of the mold is off, because at this point we're using public washer and dryers, and I am not going to be the person that's like putting mold in washers and dryers that aren't even ours. So this was a time, I will say, it was very challenging to not have our own washer and dryer. Like, this was the time I remember being like, if we were at home, this would be so much easier, because the washer and dryer wasn't even, it was closer by than other laundry things, but the washer and dryer, they were also outside. Do you remember that?
At this location?
Yeah. So we're staying in South Carolina in Charleston. It was our second campground, and the washers and dryers were outside against that wall. They were outside. And I'm very confused by this, because I'm like, if moisture is the problem and the washers and dryers are outside, first of all, electrically, how is that a good decision? And then
especially because it's raining like all the time.
Well, okay, so yes, if we go back to this picture where I'm dunking it in the bucket, it had just started raining.
Yeah.
So not only are we soaking the clothes, wringing them out with my tiny T-Rex hands, which if you missed last week's episode, go back.
We covered in depth how she's very terrible at wringing
I'm very terrible at wringing things out. I am then putting them in our laundry tote, toting them to the washers and dryers that are outside. It's raining. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on right now? Like, what portal
did we open?
Has opened in the universe. So then, after all of this.
Oh man, this is like a whole slideshow.
It really is. I should have just made a presentation. So what is happening in this picture?
In this picture, you appear with your same scary mask and glove combination.
Why is it scary? And
you have, I believe, what looks like cleaning supplies. I really can't see.
Yeah,
what that
so
is.
That's a rag.
Is that a sponge?
Yeah, that's okay. A rag. And so this is now the back closet to figure out what the hell happened. So I'm freaking out. I'm like, the way our clothes have molded, there's going to be mold everywhere. And I open it and there's literally no mold.
And there wasn't water. It wasn't like something dripped in there.
No. So eventually, after like examining very thoroughly, because I can't find any mold, I'm like, what is going on? There is like one kind of damp spot that has like a little bit of condensation on the inner panel, like on the inside. Mm. So usually if condensation travels through the wall, like if it came from outside in, it would have had like those spots. You know what I'm talking about? Where there's like water spots on the ceiling.
Yeah.
So I was horrified that it came from like the outside in and that it was going to have those spots. There was literally nothing on the wall. Like the wall was sealed. It was a great mystery. The wall was sealed, but there was like a little bit of dampness. So then when I went back and I looked at the clothes, what had happened was a pocket of moisture like this big had gotten on the wall. I'm assuming from the humidity of South Carolina.
This is dark. Back closet, humidity in the air, so it somehow got trapped back there.
That's where the cockroaches lived as well. It was a very traumatic space. No, they were
somewhere else.
They were somewhere else. We'll come back to that
just yet.
But what had happened was that tiny pocket of moisture touched touched one of the sweaters, like the hoodie, the whatever, arm part of the sweater, traveled up the sweater.
You give it an inch, it'll take a mile.
Touched, then went through all of the layers of clothes.
I mean, I'll give it points for being ambitious.
It was very ambitious. So literally,
really got after it.
That tiny pocket of moisture touched a sweater and got through all of our clothes. And it was horrible.
Yeah, you worked really hard on it. And then I came home after work and was like, hey, what's going on? How was your day?
And I was like, don't talk to me for a week. It's not your fault, but this was horrible. So these are the clothes, this picture, hanging up after sorting through everything. So I am sad to report that not all of the clothes could be saved. Mm-mm. Some of them were too far gone that after multiple vinegar soaks, the mold was not coming out,
including but not limited to my Italian leather jacket.
The Italian leather jacket. Yeah,
but that's okay because red's not really my color anyway, so it's
but
fine.
That was like a pretty big memory.
It's fine.
So that was a really strange thing that happened on the road that no one warned us about.
You know what I feel as I'm listening to us say again, yet again, we don't know how this happened. I feel like this is not only, it's a cross between Tales from the Rig and Unsolved Mysteries.
That
how
is
did
true.
The frog get in our camper? I still don't know.
And did how we did talk the, about that already?
I think so.
Curtain mouse.
The curtain mouse.
Yeah.
How did the mold get back there? How
it
did
is.
In our future story, how did those little buggers start out? How did they start a colony? Where'd they come from? Anyway, that's
unsolved
all I
Unsolved Tales from the Rig?
Unsolved
Tales from the Rig.
No. Unsolved Rig Mysteries.
Your words today. Your
what?
Words.
That's what it would. It wouldn't be
Body
tail,
Inspector?
Tail
is
mysteries.
That what the first
Listen,
thing you
it
said?
Listen, it is the end of my day. And there is, the pollen count is so high that it is taking up root in my brain. I've had to spray my nose to
the
get my goblet cells to calm down. So at this point, we're lucky my brain is even touching any
synapses
together. Okay.
Synapsi?
Anyway, all I'm saying is there's a lot that happened to us on the road that we were like, literally, how did this happen? So while we would love to say that we learned of the causes of all of these things so that you could live a better life on the road, we can't really. Sometimes
I'm so sorry. It looks like I do drugs. I promise you I don't. I keep itching my nose because the pollen is really bad. No, because we did learn something from this. First of all, humidity is no joke.
Humidity kills.
When you are in kills clothing,
right.
To be clear. Yeah. Not sure about the mortality rate
well,
of
listen,
humans
if,
for
if
humidity.
Well, listen, if it creates mold and you have throat closing reactions to mold.
That's only black mold. So we didn't get to that level
right.
Because my throat was only mildly irritated. Anyway, right. So what we did learn is that when you are in humid climates, you have to take the precautions to make sure that you are keeping the moisture out of the walls, away from things. And what we ended up getting after this was, what are they called?
Oh,
Damprid?
Damprid?
I'm not sure. You can get the bags, but
it's
what
pretty
we...
pretty stinky.
Yeah, so people in the beginning told us about that for moisture, and they smell really gross to us. Like, even the unscented ones kind of have a smell. So we ended up getting the dehumidifier, and I don't know if we, like, weren't running it at that time or if it just, like, wasn't enough.
It didn't feel humid to me. So
I don't think we were running it at the time. But then after this happened, we put it right in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And we ran it.
We ran
all
it until
the time.
We ran it until currently. We tried to turn it on recently and it goes, ga, 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 ga. So we really ran
yes.
that mode
so
out.
When you're in, it's not a bad idea to just have the Damprid or the mini dehumidifier at all times, just in case, because I notice it even in this rig when I'm cooking, I can see the window steam up. I make sure I open the fan. Mm-hmm. Same with the bathroom. So I think it's just general rule of thumb to have something that takes care of the moisture. What?
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. And when you're RVing, you're in a lot of different climates. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like
we didn't know that.
We were not particularly well versed in what to do in humid climates, and sometimes it was literally so bad that the windows were like sweating on the inside and we didn't know what else to do. So
sweating, that's what the wall was doing.
It was sweating.
Yeah, I said condensation, but it was sweating.
Okay.
But not through the back of it, just on the inside.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm picturing the wall as a human now sweating through their clothes. Okay. So anyway, yes, when you RV, you're obviously going to be in a number of different climates, and most of them for us weren't like our climates back home. And so, yeah, you learn quickly. We always had our dehumidifier at the ready after that. And
that damp rib thing, ours was like the one where there's a container that catches the moisture. Mm-hmm. It was like those things that are in your urinals. Are they pee cakes?
A urinal cake?
A urinal cake, which why do we call it that?
Why do we call it a cake?
Very strange. It wasn't pink. It was
clear.
It was white. But you would like put it on the top and then the fan would like pull it through and then the moisture would be in there. So we ran that nonstop and the dehumidifier, and the amount of moisture both of those things captured while we were in South Carolina was insane. And so I think we eventually like got over the fear once we went back to Michigan. Once we got away from the coastal air, we were like, okay, this is fine. That's the end of this story. Hasn't happened since. I'm very grateful for that. But I am like on it about moisture. Because again, when you have a fear and then the fear happens, I'm like, I'm validated. I have every right to be neurotic about moisture.
Hopefully you enjoyed that tale from the rig. And we'll be back next week with another tale. Until then, follow us on social media if you don't already. Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, at Life with Beth and Court. Lifewithbethandcourt.com is our website where we have RV life resources and other cool things. Hit us up there. And
you did all that in one breath.
Yeah.
I'm very impressed.
That's it.
That's the end.
That's it.
We're going to go now.
Thanks for tagging along.
Bye.
Bye.